Welcome to the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to go to the so-called Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse 13. They discovered the book of the law after a long, long period, because there was a famine for hearing the word. And greetings, everyone. I'm Stefan Yah, the leader tonight on this feast. And we'll have several messages during the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you there? Nehemiah 8, 13. Correcting the common words, we're using the King James Version, the KJV, tonight. And verse 13, it says, "And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people and priests, Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the Torah. And they found written in the Torah, which Yahweh had commanded by Moshe, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his area he was living in during this feast time, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths, for since the days of Yahusha, the son of Nun," or it says here, Jeshua, "unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness." See also 2 Chronicles 30 regarding a similar event, and it was Passover then. But this is Sukkot Tabernacles. Day by day from the first day, that would be tonight, beginning in the evening after sunset, from the first day unto the last day, and then, of course, we have the last great day. He read in the Torah, in the book of the law of Yahweh, or law of Moshe. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner, according to the scriptures. Law of Moses, law of Yahweh is the same thing, or Yah of God, there it says in Luke 2:23. They are keeping the feast, going up to that feast in Jerusalem. Also says in Deuteronomy or Devarim, chapter 16, which you can find all these, or most of these notes on our website, YahvehYahweh.name. And conduct your own Feast of Tabernacles if you can't find anyone else suitable. And do the best you can with all the conditions that we have here, the good lights, the equipment, the living quarters, kitchen, and everything, all good, clean food during this feast. And we're all going to have, hopefully, a harmonious time celebrating together. Devarim 16, verse 13. "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and daughter, and manservant and maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto Yahweh thy Elohim, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh thy Elohim shall bless thee in all thy increase, and in all the works of thy hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice." Of course, speaking to all of us here today, the book of Ephesians, for example, or Colossians, or Galatians, might be said to only be addressed to the Ephesians, Colossians, or Galatians. So this is addressed, similarly, addressed to Israel. Most of us, most of you out there belong to the one of the tribes of Israel, and somehow or another, our roots go back all the way to Eber, or at least to Abraham, or Abraham. And then it gives the command here in 16:16, about the pilgrimage feasts, or the Haggag feast, the Hebrew word Haggag. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before, and of course we already read sons and daughters and servants. All thy males appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, or Shavuot, Pentecost, and in Sukkot, the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he has given thee. Then over to Shemot, or Exodus 34:24. As we are rejoicing in the feast, as it says there in the book of Devarim, For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before Yahweh thy Elohim thrice in the year. Well, that's the catch-22 there. Because we don't go up, most of us do not make these pilgrimage feasts, and therefore the land is being distributed to all kinds of Gentiles, and giving it away there. So, hope you'll be joining us for all 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles as we praise Yahweh, as we study, as we pray for one another, and pray for those around the world. Yes, they have their prayer for peace, and we do sincerely have a prayer for shalom, for the entire world to be shalom in Yahweh, to be living and loving in the Word, loving one another, loving Yahweh, feasting and preparing for the Savior. He will return soon. He is the bridegroom coming to get his bride. You, the assembly out there. This is just a rehearsal, if you will. There's nowhere in Scripture for that, but it has been said, a rehearsal for the consummation with the Messiah. Right now we're only engaged to Messiah spiritually, but there will be a consummation when Yahweh has that great wedding supper for us. And so today, in the 10th month, the 10th, the common month, should be the high day, beginning at sundown, and it's during the daytime portion. Tomorrow we're going to, or today, actually, it's the same day, we call it in the daytime portion, okay? We're going to rejoice in Yahweh and bring to him not only our tithes, but the praise of our hearts will be a living offering, pure and acceptable unto him, which is only the minimum. It's only our reasonable service. Praise Yahweh for that. From sundown to sundown in the high day, and then 7 days later will be another high day where there is no cooking allowed, no work. And it's called that last great day, or Sheminai Atzeret. And we could go to John 7:7 about the Feast of Sukkot in the New Testament. When Yehoshua, or Messiah, was at the Feast of Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles, and the typology and the symbolism, nuances, idioms don't quite come out in your modern translations. But this will be real to you. It does mention the last day. John 7:37. In that last day, thy great day of the feast. So there it is, Sheminai Atzeret, that last day. The great day of what feast? Of the Feast of Tabernacles, when that's over after 7 days. Messiah stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let's read back there in chapter 4, verse 13, and come back here to make this even richer, this feast. Oh, I hope you're enjoying that. And we're going to address some of the problems that we want to leave behind. That doesn't make sense, does it? So John 4:13, and Messiah answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That was 4:34. Then back to 7. 38. Out of his belly, he that believeth on me, Messiah is saying, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, Ruach, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Ruach HaKadosh, in common terms they call that the Holy Ghost, for the Ruach HaKadosh was not yet given, because that Messiah was not yet glorified. And then we see there that next Shavuot, or Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, where Messiah is sending forth his Spirit to fill his people. The Ruach HaKadosh was given then, and then there was another Pentecost, and another one in the book of Acts as well. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, shall Messiah come out of Galilee? As not the scripture said, that Messiah cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, or Bethlehem, where David was. And then they were having a little division about that. Numbers 28:9 is another to be read about the feast of Sukkot. In Bamidbar, or Numbers 28, verse 9. And if we say, I will not travel, I will tabernacle here. My home is the headquarters. Then we're not quite obeying Yahweh perfectly in our heart. We try to come up with some alibis. Let's see what this says then. 28, verse 9. In the scriptures, on this first day of Sukkot, and on the Sabbath day, 28 verse 9, on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour to a meat offering mingled with oil and drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, because the continual burnt offering, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. They have Passover mentioned here in verse 17. Passover is mentioned. I think I wanted to go more not only to verse 9, but quite a bit later on here. Verse 24, after this manner you shall offer daily throughout the 7 days, 7 days of the feast, the meat of the sacrifice made by fire. Now, we no longer make these sacrifices, because Messiah is our offering, our sweet savor offering. And it shall be offered besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And on the seventh day you shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work. And then about first fruits there it talks about. And so that was Passover, and then first fruits, or Shavuot. So, now let's go to chapter 29 of Bamidbar. 29. So I'll put that up for you on the website right now. All right. In verse 7, you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month a pure convocation, and you shall afflict your souls. You shall do no work. You shall not do any work therein. So that was the Feast of Atonement. Then verse 12, here begins this feast, 29:12. And in the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. Then it goes through the offerings that, according to the temple sacrifices there, the Levitical system, and those were added laws, the sacrifices, especially the sacrifices for sin, were not originally given, but that later it was added due to transgressions. All the sacrifices were added due to transgressions. But someone will say, well, I will not go up. I will not go up to keep the feast. Actually, Yahweh is on our heart all the time, but it's a physical, a traveling time when we disengage from the world and all of the routine functions there. And the fact is, when we do not go up, then we lose many, many blessings. And every believer and Hebraic person would say that I must abode for the feast, not in my home, but up with my brethren and sisters. As we go up, we pry ourselves from the familiar atmosphere and have some new experiences. And we think about that new adventure that we're having here at the feast, and maybe diving in and getting some activities to enjoy and take part in many, many facets of the feast of food preparation on the non-high days. And then the blessings. And I confess that this is really an adventure. I do really like it after all. You know, these people, whether they be Baptists or Messianics, these people really do appear to love Yahweh. I've already helped several people in their walk, and I've been helped so much as well here at the feast. And I don't want to even leave. I don't want to leave, but I know we will. We'll go back to the routine. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go home. I want to go home to Yahweh someday. And then Yahweh might say to us that it's only a taste of the heavenly here, my daughter, and you cannot stay here forever. This is only temporary. This is a dress rehearsal, and you must go back home to your regular duties and take care of all those things. And what I gave you here, spiritually and otherwise, just getting refreshed, I want you to take that home with you and share it with others. This is a taste of the heavenly here. And it's better than the old-time camp meetings that you used to hear about, the Brush Arbor meetings. Some of them were Pentecostal. But this one is in truth. We haven't arrived at 100% yet, but we are getting closer as we grow in Yahweh, as He imparts His Spirit, as He breathes His Spirit, and we receive that. We are appointed. We are directly appointed to obey Yahweh and meet with others. And this is all done in a response to His love that He has given us. Now, some of these brothers may throw you out. They may not agree with you, but, you know, we all have different personalities. Maybe you have short hair. They have long hair. They have long sleeves. You have short sleeves. And then they might try to impose their standards upon you. And perhaps there's something to that as far as modesty goes. There might very well be. Then they have this calendar and that calendar. And that's important too, of what calendar and how do we reckon by the sliver, the new moon? Well, that's not idolatry. It's not idolatry to see the sun setting. And so it's not idolatry to reckon the new moon by the first day of the month by the sliver of the moon. But anyway, some people want to discuss the calendar, and that's fine. But if they get into gross contention and start, you know, really arguing hard for it, for their point, and putting you down for not doing it their way, even if they're correct and you're wrong, they're in the wrong spirit. Well, sometimes you've got to be firm, though. Of course, you have to be firm with some. But in our marriage, we have to, and sort of a relationship with others that we are not married to, we have to use grace and be diplomatic about it. The proper attitude that we respect one another, and particularly your spouse, to come along as a helper, and gently, as you need to, or perhaps even firmly, lead her lovingly to the Messiah, to Yahusha, our heavenly Savior and Master, unto the Father. We worship and praise Yahweh the Father, and His Son points and calls attention and directs our praise to the Heavenly Father. And how we have seen such virtuous wives here. But some say, dear, I know I'm smarter than you and wiser and quicker and have more backbone than you do and have the superior, quote, female brain, unquote. However, sir, husband, you are in charge nonetheless. You are in the final not about every little thing. You don't have to go around acting, you know, like you're the football coach. No, granted, we are a team. That's correct. So we need to address this a little bit, because I know that here there's some contentions that do go on. We're not just human. We're spirit-filled. We have been baptized and immersed. We've been tubaled, or rakats, or tubaled in Yahweh, into the Spirit. We've been immersed in the water in the name of Yahusha, hopefully. So the wife might say, dear, even though I know you are wrong, I'm going to submit to you anyway in the Savior. Just like Ephesians says. And consider, please consider another way, though. Consider my way. But my way is not the highway. Oh, for more beautiful women like that in our world. Nobody is perfect. Yes, nobody is perfect, not even the most religious person in the world. Search, my friend, search. And you will never find that perfect person. But we can help one another. And remember your heart. Don't be easily offended. Messiah said in Matthew chapter 11, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So particularly, do not be offended in the word, but by all means have great respect and awe, reverence for the authority of Yahweh's word, but also have some respect for one another. Even though if they belong to a different denomination and they believe differently, or if they're voting for the most liberal person, or that kind of thing, you know, or their religion is so compromising, you know, they're very westernized and Americanized and all that. Let's not be offended about that. Let that go for now. And when you get back to your normal surroundings there, please don't get into a big tizzy about, because everybody is doing things differently. The world out there, the carnality, I don't know, I can't think of it all, you know, because we're here at the feast, but any out there in the world anyway, it's the world. What can I say? But the scripture says, a merry heart, now this is Proverbs 17, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So let's not go nursing and over and festering up our wounds and hurts all the time. Don't be easily offended. Of course, sometimes we do need to address various issues. And we're about 23 minutes into this feast day so far. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So please do not get uptight about the depraved culture out there in the world. Have grace and mercy, especially for your loved ones. We're not perfect either. And hear the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 now, going two more chapters. Oh, you can tell it's going to be a long one tonight. It's going to be a tough ride here in this first night of the feast. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it. Yet he has not been rooted and founded. He not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, like, why are you keeping the Sabbath day? That's so Jewish. That's so legalistic. That's so dumb. Yeah. But when persecution arises because of the word, and you might get lose a promotion, or they pass you over, or your job. Yeah, such was my case, praise Yah. But by and by, he is offended. Well, I think I did take note when they passed me over for promotions and let me go, and then they'd hire somebody else. They said that we had to cut back, but then they'd turn around and hire somebody else. And a Sabbath keeper did that to me. an Adventist person. Then from Mark 4, and Messiah continues, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And then up there in Luke 7, I'm glad that some of you have your e-sword loaded on your telephones, I can see. Luke 7:21. And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. I think we need that, don't we? And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Yahusha, or Messiah answering, said unto them, go your way, and tell Yochanan what things you have seen and heard. That's John there. Now that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to the poor, the gospel is preached, or the evangel is preached, more correctly. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't let it get you down, just because there's so much that's required of us, so much more, as being Sabbath keepers, feast keepers, keeping the names, not eating pork. I was working for a lumber camp, and they all looked at me and said, why aren't you eating meat? Well, I said, I do. Well, it really got to them. Don't be offended by anybody. Don't be angry, Matthew 22, except be angry, but sin not in your anger. So don't let the sun go down on your anger, or Colossians chapter 3, Paul is speaking. But now also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Of course, none of us are guilty of any of that. And wives, he said in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in Yahweh. Now, some things are just not fit. You don't have to kowtow and bow down if your husband is being a dictator. Although he does have to be firm in some things. And a lot of wives say, well, I appreciate that he had some backbone, some gumption to stand up and not be such a jellyfish. So husbands, if you don't do that, you're not loving your spouse or your family. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, don't have hate crimes against your family and just flick on the TV and open up a Papa or something. No, let's address the issue when the time comes, and do it gently if possible, or be firm. Be very firm if needed. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto Yahweh. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That really did happen in our family, a somewhat dysfunctional family back in the 50s, when they'd all sit around and watch TV. And if you said anything and interrupted Ozzie and Harriet, then you'd get rebuked, you know. Be quiet. I got to listen to my program, you know. Well, Dad had driven many miles from work, and he had worked a long 8 or 9 hour day. Some worked 12-hour days. Matthew 5, but I say unto you, Matthew 5:22, Messiah says, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Or, hey, you fool, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So Yahweh doesn't want you you're not going to be perfect and get everything in perfect order, but he doesn't want you to come so unprepared and leaving bridges burnt. You can't come to the feast that way. Now, don't just pick up and leave right now, necessarily. Wait till the message is over, and then in the morning, maybe head home and patch things up if you can. But if they're the kind of person, the kind of spouse, we'll get into that later, maybe, that they're so contentious that there's just no mercy there, no forgiveness, no grace at all. I hate to use that word, but that's most people understand the word grace, to be graceful. Well, if they're that type, then there's just more silence is better than anything. And buy flowers, where flowers are as near as your telephone. Yeah, there was a florist there. Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. And not just to anybody, either. We got to be a little bit discriminate. Not random acts of kindness, necessarily, but first, and it's a priority, your family comes first. Your synagogue or church family comes first. Your spiritual leaders, after your family, that is. And then on down in the priority list there. And then at the bottom, well, you can help anybody you want if you got lots of second time left over. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unmerited favor unto the hearers. And grieve not the Ruach HaKadosh of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Not will be sealed, but you're sealed by the Spirit right now. Don't let anybody tell you, well, you're not saved at all. You know, you have to wait until the second coming for that. No, he says active present tense, that it is an active thing. Of course, our salvation is active, and being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing process as well. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind. Oh, no, we don't have to be courteous, do we? I mean, isn't that just a kind of frosting on the cake? It's an elective. No, it's... I don't have to necessarily. No, it says here, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So don't hold back that wrath and malice and wickedness and all the bitterness there. Forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for Yahosha's sake has forgiven you. Now, how does he forgive us? He says, even as Elohim for Yahosha's sake has forgiven you. Well, there has to be repentance before he forgives us. In most cases, anyway. I'm not sure if it's in every single case that we have to be repented to be forgiven. But I'm sure that eventually, in eventuality, it will happen. It not only better happen, but we'll want it to happen. If our hearts are lined up with Yahweh and with His Word, and we have the right attitude, a lot of stuff goes on, doesn't it? But in the end, our desire is to do the right thing and to help one another, to get our eyes on Messiah and play some good music. Don't play that worldly, secular type of beat, even the religious music. It just doesn't bring shalom. It doesn't bring peace. Even some classical music is chaotic and jerky, and so we have to watch that too. Too much of this deep, heavy organ type stuff and chanting I hear on classical radio stations. It doesn't bring peace to the heart. Turning up the music way, way loud, they're starting to do in a lot of messianic synagogues. I don't know where they get this idea. I don't think it's necessarily from the world, but I'm not trying to get you all stirred up about this. But you leaders need to watch that. Watch that volume. You're breaking the state law by turning, and you're hurting our ears, and you're running us off, too. I'm not going to go back to a church that blasts my ears, and I've turned around and look at the sound man. Yeah, he doesn't care. Well, all right, guy. See you again, maybe. Verse 14, and verse 13 of Proverbs 19, 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from Yahweh. Also in the book of Proverbs, we'll look at three or four of these. Proverbs 21:8. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure one, his work is right. Verse 9. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman or brawling person in a wide house. There's other similar passages. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman or angry person. Proverbs 25, these all say about the same parallel truth here and commands, just one of the 600 commands in Scripture of the older Scriptures. There's 1,000 New Testament commands, 1,050. Proverbs 25:20 is, he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and his vinegar upon nitre, so is he that sings songs to a heavy heart. He that takes away a garment in cold weather, and his vinegar upon nitre. He that sings songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon that enemy's head, and Yahweh shall reward thee. The north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's the same as we read there in Proverbs 19, or was it 21? Both, 19, 21, and 25 of Proverbs. So don't go, men, don't go quoting that to your wife all the time. I mean, you could read it once at the devotional time, okay? But that applies to all of us, not just to the women, to the feminine gender. I don't know why they put that in there, even, to just the feminine. Maybe they have to struggle harder at it. I don't know. I shouldn't speculate on that. I don't know. Yahweh, his word is above all. It is awesome. And so we just take him at his word. It is dogmatic. It's the truth, that's for sure. And that's what I'm all for here, is getting into the truth. In Yochanan chapter 14, or John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Yahweh. Believe also in the Messiah, or believe in me, he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Yahweh, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Messiah saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the King James used the word Lord there. I changed that to Master instead of Lord. And I usually change it to its proper rendition of Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. Let's go to chapter 16 now. Two chapters ahead. And so far in the podcast for you, for your first night of the Feast of Tabernacles, we are about 38 minutes or less. And there we go, John 16. We just read 14. I hope it's not getting too late for you. And then after that, let's go to Matthew 22. Yochanan 16, these things I have spoken unto you, verse 33, that in me you might have shalom. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In other words, he overcame it for these of his. The bride, the perfect bride, that we are keeping our garments spotless and getting ready. We're having our, keeping the wicks trim and keeping our lamps full of the oil of the Spirit, like the five wise virgins. Revelation 17:14, these things shall make war, or these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Yahweh, Elohim, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Yes. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. So we're going to go to that in a moment. But I have opened Matthew, or Matityahu, chapter 22, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And then verse 4, he sent forth servants, saying, tell them which are hidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So all things are ready, as this Feast of Sukkot represents the getting ready and being ready with Yahweh in the eventually in the third heaven, but initially in the first 1,000 years will be in New Jerusalem. Wow, wherever that is, the New Jerusalem. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. So many people make light of coming to these feasts and the Sabbath days. But that's their problem. Maybe Yahweh hasn't called them yet. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Just pray. That's our thing. We need to pray about all these different issues. They made light of it and went their way. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Said, no, don't do that. Don't go back to your merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Verse 8, he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as shall find bid to the marriage. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. And I don't know about bad and good there, what that, how that harmonizes with the rest of Scripture, and certainly the bad who are not yet saved and set apart are not going to be before Yahweh, because the rest of Scripture says you got to do that. You got to be ready. Have your garments spotless. Be perfect, even as Yahweh is perfect. And I got to change something on the website there. Whoops. Now why is it HVH instead of Lord of Lords? Thank you. Okay, thanks for waiting. And so we're finishing up there in Matthew 22. And when the king came in, saw the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. So we have to have the proper attire. Tzitzis, the beard, the hat for the men, and the hat and the tzitzis for everybody. And it doesn't just say for the men. And then, anyway, you can finish up reading that. Some were thrown into the fire. In the darkness there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, anyway, don't worry. Be joyful in Yahweh. He's not going to let you go. He said that he is able to keep you from falling and to present you before Yahweh. So here we go now. It's true. Give honor to him. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice as we give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Well, by the help of the Ruach HaKadosh. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, or represents the righteousness or being right, keeping his law perfectly, eventually. Right now we're just growing and we're striving. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of Yahweh. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou, do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Messiah. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Messiah is the spirit of prophecy, of spirit of forth-telling. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Look at John chapter 1. Messiah is called the Word of Yahweh. And I think you'll find that too in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 9. For one, the word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, out of his mouth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty Yahweh. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh, now it's not one of those tattoo things, because that's against the law of Yahweh's law to put markings on our flesh. So we have to look at the original there and the nuances and idioms, Hebrew idioms and so on. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Yahweh of Yahweh. So it would be on his banner, it should say. And thigh, one of those names is Regal, R-E-G-A-L. Well, anyway, it's in the back of your scriptures. If you've got the scriptures by ISR publication, it'll explain that. About there was if it's one word, a wrong Greek word, then you would be thrown way off, and you would be led to think that it's okay for Messiah to have a tattoo on his well, you know, it wasn't okay. You've already studied that, probably most of you people have studied on that truth. Psalm 23. You know this scripture, I don't know which verse it is, but surely goodness and mercy, it's the last verse, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, or I will tabernacle, in the house of Yahweh forever. Forever and ever. So that's what this day is about. Oh, this day is finally here. We had to struggle to get up here, and a little bit, but there's joy in the journey, as Gordon Jenkins once sang back in 1980s, great Christian song. There's joy in the journey, Gordon Jenkins, and that's just one of his many compositions. A psalm of David, then in Psalm 15. I thought I changed this. It says Lord again here, so we've got to put it back the way it's supposed to be. If you look in the concordance, it's not L-O-R-D, it's Y-H-V-H, or pronounced Yahweh. Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall tabernacle in thy pure hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Or if you don't like the eth there, the eth, you can take it off. And that's legitimate. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, or condemned there, with a T. But he that honoreth them, or he that honors them that fear Yahweh, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Yes, that is consistent with all scripture there. James 1 and many other scriptures, same yesterday, today, and forever. I think that's Hebrews 13, and back in the book of Exodus, Yahweh doesn't change. Yes, and there was a song about that, but it he never changes. Well, okay. Well, you could look that up in the back of your psaltery, or the book of your, the back of the songbook, perhaps, that Yahweh never changes. Okay, that's good. Beautiful song. Very inspiring to read some of those good songs that we used to sing back in the 40s, 50s, 80s. Psalm 27. And the thing is, verse 1, though a host should encamp against me, so even though you have enemies, maybe in your own family, people are just really nasty. Really, they just treat you like junk, like, you know, dumpy. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I'll seek after, that I may tabernacle in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to inquire in his temple, or tabernacle. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. See? Yeah, you could go through the tribulation and still be protected. The time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in Petra. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, the rock representing the Messiah there. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto Yahweh, or Yahweh. Hear, O Yahva. And if I forget to take the LORDs out of there, please forgive me. The computer is supposed to do all that automatically, but okay, I'll do that one for you. Hear, O Yahva, when I cry in with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou hast said, seek you my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Yahva, will I seek? Thy face will I seek? Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Yah of my salvation. I'm going to change that one too. It said G-O-D. O Yah of my salvation. That's what it is. It's either Y-A-H in the original, if you look in your concordance, or Y-A-H-V-H, Yahweh. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. And that was Psalm 27, verse 10. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. So that's for all of you who are living in the land, being threatened by many, many countries, even by America in the year 2016. Yes, we pray for you, for your loved ones and all the believers in your assemblies there in the land. Psalm 132 says, I think it picks it up around verse 9, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let the saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed, Father. In other words, I added the word Father to make sense. Yahweh has sworn in truth unto David, and there I did not add it, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them. Yeah, what about that covenant, huh? They say, forget it. We're not in a covenant. Oh, really? What do you do? If thy children will keep my covenant, young and old children, and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For Yahweh has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. Zion, perhaps meaning the entirety of all of Yahweh's people. This is my rest forever. Here will I tabernacle, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. And then going next to Yeshayahu, or commonly called Isaiah, chapter 30. And so far, we're 53 minutes into this first day of Unleavened Bread, or wherever and whenever you're listening around the world. Coming up on Isaiah chapter 30, but anyway, we may go an hour and a half, okay, today, because this is a special day. I don't want to keep you up too late. You can stop it and finish it up in the morning, maybe, if it's too long for you. Good to take a break rather than trying to burn the candle. Isaiah 30, verse 17. I give you assurance from Yahweh's word. We believe in the authority of Yahweh's word. Verse 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. So I guess that'll be 100,000 at the rebuke of 100, mathematically speaking. At the rebuke of 5 shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious, it says there. A little poetic license, gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. Mercy, mercy on you. You need it, I need it. And for Yahweh is Elohim, or Yah, of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Yahweh, he is Elohim of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall tabernacle in Zion at Jerusalem. Now it says dwell there. I think if I looked that up, it would be a legitimate change to put tabernacle in there. And if not, well then, let me know. I didn't look it up. For the people shall tabernacle in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very favorable unto thee at the voice of the cry, of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. So you could finish, you could read some more from that. The whole book of Isaiah is virtually about this feast, about the feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. Then back to chapter 26. Yeshayahu 26, in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda. We have a strong city, salvation with Yah, a point for walls and bulwarks. Walls and bulwarks, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. Oh, that wouldn't work today for a lot of us. We have to keep the truth and enter in. Yeah, enter into the gates of the city. There's no other way. Enter in through Yehoshua and be grafted into the good olive tree. Well, that's my parenthetical insertion there. And thou shalt, or thou wilt, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh, Yahweh is an everlasting strength. Then up to 57. That's chapter 57. 57 verse 10. There. And this speaks of, you know, when we come dragging in. The saints come dragging in, but they go out with the high hand, with victory. Okay? No, you don't have to drag in. A lot of people don't have as many responsibilities as you have, or as many situations. You don't have tough people to get along with, maybe, like they have. So let's have a little empathy for one another. That's a big word. Yeah, empathy. Chapter 57, verse 10. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Like, remember, Messiah said, Martha, Martha, you are worried about too many things. Yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Don't say that there isn't any hope. Thou hast found the life of thy hand. Therefore, thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid of or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? The speaker of the scripture is saying to you, that is, the Son speaking here, or Son speaking for the Father, for Yahweh. And then he continues, have not I held my peace, even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my pure mountain. And shall say, cast up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is Kadosh, or pure. I tabernacle in the high and pure place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. So that was Isaiah 57, and then up to chapter 66, Yeshayahu, as we look at the new heavens. Oh, there was a warning, though, in the... That's going to be from Jeremiah. Let's finish Yeshayahu first. 66:22. And Yahweh tells us through his son, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon, so that's talking about the future here, past, present, and future, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is eternal. Forever really does mean forever. And, you know, there might be a few remote spots in the scripture where forever just means as long as the conditions extend, like sacrificial Levitical temple laws. If it says forever there, then it meant as long as the conditions are extant or present. And so verse 22 talked about the new heavens and new earth. And 23 says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and in other words, one month to another, with that new sliver of the moon, and from one Sabbath day to another, or one Sabbath feast day, this is, you know, Sabbath or feast day, to another, shall all flesh, not just Jews, not just legalists, rather be a legalist and obey Yahweh than not, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Then Jeremiah 17, the warning is there. The heart is deceitful above all things, so my heart is right. Oh, yeah, give me a break. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So watch. Be a fruit inspector. Inspect your fruit occasionally, especially every year at Passover, but even, you know, every day. Have I been faithful? Did I let the sun go down in my anger? And you know, break fellowship with my loved ones, just be over ego, over pride, you know, before pride cometh before a fall. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses sang, and the children of Israel were victorious when Yahweh had conquered the enemies and Pharaoh. They sang, Moses and the children of Israel sang this song unto Yahweh. And Miriam said it later in verse 16, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously or magnificently. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. There goes those naughty Egyptians into the sea at that time. Well, now there's saved Egyptians at this time. There are many, and I believe he is going to call those who never heard the word. They might have listened to Christian radio, but they didn't hear enough truth. They didn't trust all the, you know, hundreds or thousands of denominations. They didn't know which one to pick, which one was telling the truth. Yahweh is going to bring them out at that last great day and give his salvation to an innumerable multitude. I believe it. And scripture backs it up in Isaiah. It's, I think it should be 65 where it says that, in chapter 65. Go back to Tehillim now, 118, that's Psalm 118. And sing this song, along with David. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. That's verse 16. I shall not die, but live. I shall not die, David is saying here, back there in the Old Testament, but live and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh. This gate of Yahweh into which the righteous shall enter. I read about the gates of the city, entering the gates in the last chapter of Ezekiel. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Speaking about the Messiah there, he's our foundation. The stone was rejected, or the rock of our salvation was rejected by many. Some people just don't understand, though. They've been duped by Christianity, by Christian television, and Christian radio, more than TV, and a few preachers out there, too. But I don't hold it against them. Yahweh is going to take care of it. And I'm disengaged from that argument with the chuckers out there on the radio. Chuck this, chuck that. They chuck the word sometime. Yeah. This was done away with. That was done away. Everything was done away with. Tongues were done away with. Well, what's left? Well, that you're saved. You know, go tell other people. Tell them what? Tell them, don't tell them. Don't tell them that. Tell them the truth. Tell them that they need to be saved by Yahweh's blood and his unmerited favor. They need mercy. They have all their sins remitted. Yes, and to be righteous in Yahweh, to receive his spirit. So, Yahweh chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death, the psalmist wrote. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh. This gate of Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter. So there it is. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Why is this repeating? The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So that's often sung about the Sabbath, which is the evening service here is just about coming to a close. Another 15 minutes or so. Save now, I beseech thee, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Now that doesn't mean get rich quick. Throw that crazy idea out the window. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Yah, or Elohim. Yah is Yahweh, or Elohim is Yahweh. I guess it should be there. In verse 27. Elohim, the Elohim is Yahweh, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my Elohim. And I will praise thee. Thou art my Yah. I will exalt thee. Beautiful song. I will sing unto Yahweh. So that comes again from Exodus 15, as well as this Psalm 118 and Exodus 15 is about the same. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then we read from Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, as it commonly is said there, in verse 8 about the construction, using the olive, pine, myrtle, and palm branches and thick trees, or the here the Douglas fir in the American West. We make Sukkot, or booths, as it is written. People went forth and made themselves tabernacles. One upon the roof of his structure, I'll say that. Now, that's not an excuse to stay home where it says house there in the King James or modern version. And in their courts and in the courts of the house of Elohim and in the street of the water gates, we read. And verse 18, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, reading in the book of the law of Yahweh. We keep in the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day is a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. Praise him. Oh, we want to go outside tonight and have a little campfire and sit around and sing some Hebrew songs and some English ones. So we'll those of us who don't know the Hebrew that well, I don't know how many here really do know it. So we'll sing it in English and make the sense as to what we're singing about. We praise unto Yahweh and raise our hands. Put the palms of your hands out. And wave the lulav, the branches, these from the first until the last day. Let's wave branches. Let's live in the Sukkot. How many do that? And yeah, we certainly need to do that. And enjoy Yahweh's kingdom, which is right here. And it's going on to New Jerusalem, in fact. Yeah, when we see him face to face. And these earthly places are a type or a shadow of the heavenly places. Paul writes there in Colossians 2, these things, these feast days and new moons and Sabbaths are, not were, as the NIV put it, but are a shadow of things to come. But the body of Messiah is to judge in eating and drinking. Okay, that's Colossians chapter 2, that Shaul wrote that for us. So whether you're out there in the valleys where it's a little bit warmer, closer to a city, or whether you're up there in the mountains freezing somewhat around the old campfire, as we so much desire to be, maybe travel to Mount Rainier for this feast, whether, praise Yahweh, you're at a national monument, Waterton Glacier National Park. That's, boy, that's maybe too far north there, longitude or latitude, and or down south to the Navajo Trail at Bryce Canyon. Well, don't go out there after dark. You'll trip into something and fall over the periphery. Yosemite Park, Grand Canyon in Arizona. What's another one? In Japan, the Mount Hanare, Fujisan. Yes. Oh, now I can't think of it. Mount Asama, right? That's in the northern prefecture there. And Hakone National Park, yes. And Nikko. Oh, it's so nice and fragrant. The cedar in the air, and Karizawa in Nagano County Prefecture, or Ken. Oh, what a beautiful, this fragrance is awesome there. Washington State, back in the United States. Oh, man, the fragrance is just so overwhelming sometimes, perhaps throughout the year. But this Feast of Tabernacles is a very, very special time as we sort of step out of the normal day-to-day surroundings and stuff that goes on. And as I say, people get even more so, it seems like they're getting a little more contentious than they used to be. I think it's probably in our water or food supply or air or something there. Could be in the water. It could be all the electronic signals that are in the air just battering our brains to death. And it's not bad enough that you go into a store and have to hear that stuff. So anyway, I don't want to dredge all that up there today, okay? But look forward as you see the beautiful clear sky tonight, the wonderful stars, millions of stars. He made them, he called them all by name. And such beautiful songs were written about the universe, the creation. I don't know the statistics for our universe. I'm not that scientific, or even if I am, I can't remember that well how many are out there. But there's millions of stars. There's just thousands of constellations and galaxies and whatnot. Oh, and the Earth is beautiful. So Yahweh has created this. It didn't just happen by accident, of course. No, somebody said, no, it was a gas. Billions of years ago, this gas, this gaseous cloud came out and formed Bill Gates and Windows and, oh, not Vista, please, no. But anyway, who created it? Who created the Father, they say? Who created God, they tell us? Well, I have a question. Who created the gas? Okay, well, we said that in another podcast, but this has been great, the Feast of Sukkot. And, we're only an hour and 13 minutes or less. And we started off reading in the Torah, in Yahweh's Word. He is the Word, of course, from Deuteronomy, or Deuteronomy, and Exodus, or Shemot. We didn't read anything from Bereshit, from Genesis. We read from Bamidbar, Numbers, and reading about the feast days there. We did not read from Vayikra or Leviticus, chapter 23, where all those feasts are contained and described quite well in great detail. And I'm going to say this now, this late at night, but if there is any other detail that he really wanted us to do, wouldn't he put that in there? Wouldn't he write that in the Word, or have Moses write that, or Paul write that for us? No, the book is sealed. All the prophecy and everything has been sealed by Yahweh. Of course, there is still the gift of prophecy. But, It's the volume. He says, behold, I am contained in the volume of the book. So that's all he wants us to know. He said that in Psalms. Yahweh said that. So we want to not be offended by the word, like so many are these days, and they're being brainwashed to think that the law has been done away with, or something crazier than that even, that goes on there. But we don't want to be angry and get upset about all that, or the elections, the stocks, the price of gas, or ammunition, or whatnot. Just lay that all aside, especially for the feast day. And when you leave the feast, when we get to the last great day, and we have programs about that on the website, don't come out of it with a blues. Don't have the feast day blues when you're leaving here. Praise Yah that you do get to go home and share this with others. Show them some pictures and some files, audio files and different things, and scriptures, things that you've read here at the feast day, and experiences that you had. Write it down in a book. A nice little diary would be good. And keep track of some of this, some of the people you meet and the email addresses and so on, okay? But I really did think that was important tonight to address, to not treat one another as our enemies, even though we do have opposite personalities or things like that. Some of us are more interested in this, in the world. Some of us are more interested in that. You know, they think that that you shouldn't buy an apple that has a hole in it, or go out and pick one off a tree. You have to go to a store, and, you know, it really gets crazy when we use these things as a weapon or a chisel or something to try to separate us over our different whims and whimsical things. Put that stuff away now. Don't let that come out. Backbiting and also the curses that come out of the mouth. Well, that's, if you were in the military, as I was, for 4 years and hung around with a bunch of drips, a bunch of perverts at times, you know, and a lot of them did that, then you have bad habits. Or you were brought up by a certain family that they weren't too careful about their language. We read from the book of Psalms. So, wave the branches to Yahweh tonight, and magnify him for all that he has done. Give praise unto his name, and esteem him high above the heavens. Oh, the Most High, Elohim of Elohims. It says there in Isaiah 9:6, he is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty Yah, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. I must insert my email address. I would really like to hear from someone and see whether or not you appreciate the tapes and broadcasts here. Email address is Stephan Yah, that's T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, Stephan Yah at Yahweh. No, don't use that one, okay, for the email. YahvahYahweh.name is where the emails go to. If you put the YahvahNotYahweh.com, the email doesn't work. I guess I should fix it up that way, though. You could do that way, too, because people are coming into the truth. They're digging deeper. They're going to the Hebrew lexicon. They're going to the concordance or dictionaries and encyclopedias, not the modern ones, but discovering the truth. And, of course, you don't, by man's writing, get all the truth there. But there's a lot of background and history and things that we can be informed better and be better off by doing that, okay, by reading. But mostly by reading the scriptures. We don't need these commentaries and what I say. Okay, so have a good evening tonight, or wherever you are. It might be daytime, but have a good day then. A wonderful feast day in Yahweh, and come back soon to the website YahvahNotYahweh.com. Okay, Stephan Yah, praying a blessing for you, for you all, and the protection of Yahweh. May you be in His hands. Good health, a good spiritual prosperity to each and every one of you. Get along with one another, as best as possible and slough off all the rest. Just take it off and give plenty of mercy and give us all a break. Okay? There's no prima donnas around here, okay? And let's do our duty to our loved ones, our fellow brethren, and for Yahweh, and keep that second commandment, to love one another as Yahweh loves us. As Yahweh loves us. Maranatha. Shalom.